All right, let's do this. Is one of my favorite songs of all time, so I don't give a dang hoot what anybody else thinks about it. One of my favorite vocals, one of the greatest guitar lines, and one of the worst bridges, but one of the greatest getting out of a bridges ever in the history of music as well. So, Andy, fire it up, my friend.
Oh, my gosh. Book Dharma.
Mm-hmm. Enter the cowbell.
I hope you isolate the cowbell. That would be
I did not. It doesn't actually appear isolated. It's an overdub, weirdly. It wasn't played on the original idea. One of the producers, Sandy Pearlman, was like, I think we need more cowbell.
I literally
did have to say that, and
so,
it happened.
So Saturday Night Live was a lie?
It's a lie, but based on a truth.
Wow.
Aren't they all?
Yeah.
Blue Oyster Cult.
Ah.
The uninitiated.
It's one of my favorite vocals ever. I
loved his voice.
It's
Buck
so
Dharma.
Good.
They all made up these weird names. He's the only one that kept it.
That's his real name?
That's not his real name.
Oh, okay.
He made up a cool story.
Oh, you mean
name.
He kept his own name? He kept that name forever.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this. So Albert Bouchard, named after the famous cheese, on drums. The rhythm section are, in fact, brothers. Did you know that, Andy?
I did not know.
Now you do. So, and it's a serviceable part. The thing that I like about this this particular drum track is in order to create the sort of dreamy state, everything on this song is washed out in reverb, including the drums. So here at the bottom of a very large hole being recorded on a drum set is a very diminutive piece of French cheese.
Wow, that's some hit sauce.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of reverb. One does not generally drench a drum set in that amount of reverb. And as you can hear, you kept it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Don't get fancy.
Kiss.
When you have that much reverb, it loses some of the punch. Yeah,
you can't. It doesn't. It sits very far back in the mix, which is why you do it. So it's one of the things I like about this song is that the atmosphere of the song is as important. The production of it represents what the song's about, which is always a nice way to go. All right, so there's Albert doing it, and then his brother Joe on the bass. Baseline. And then he goes into the chorus. He gets crazy on it. I think one of the things we can point out here is that in comparison to, let's suppose, a James Jamerson bass line,
uh-huh,
there's a certain slipperiness to this one, I think, is the PC way to put it. There's a less precision player is the other Bouchard.
It swings.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of swung to it. So let's put the two brothers together, and you'll notice that what happens at this point is this magical thing in the studio where things that appear to be a little slipshod and goofy, the drums will pull everything on, so it'll be a little bit cleaner and feels much tighter as a performance than it did just on its own.
That's true, it does.
Yeah, pulls it all together. It's a crazy thing that happens when you put things together. You're like, oh man, I don't know if that was actually...
Well, you know, that's where the name the Wilburys came from, Traveling Wilburys.
Traveling Wilburys?
Yeah.
Is there time traveled?
Well, the Beatles had a joke of, oh, don't worry about it, we'll bury it in the mix.
Ah, the Traveling Wilburys. Well, there you go. Well, that's a perfect example. So here is, I think this has to be one of the most recognizable guitar riffs. It's got to be the top 50 most recognizable guitar riffs of all time.
Yeah,
if we did
really
a countdown. I mean, it's
rock, yeah,
unbelievably well done. And so this is the track on its own, and then there's another track that has a bunch of stuff on it, and you'll hear that this guitar track is actually made, or this tone is made up of a bunch of different things. But this is the top line that you hear. All one take. Also, a lot of reverb.
It's that drone string. Mm-hmm. That keep going back to
boom,
this.
Boom. And it's so simple. It's unbelievable how effective a riff that is. You know, you don't have to, you don't go, it's not old Steve Vai, if you know what I'm saying, Steve, if you're listening, you know, let's relax, pal. So they've got Buck doing his business. Now that, so the next track is a lot of stuff because they it looks like they just condensed everything down. So you'll get the cowbell because you need it. But also, interestingly, you'll hear something you've probably never heard before, which you'll now hear every time you hear it, which is an instrument known as a güiro, which looks like a large wooden cucumber with some cut holes in the top of it. And it goes, rrrup, rrrup. And so that's going as well as the cowbell, as is an additional guitar that's playing under it, and then some beautiful synths and keyboards work by Mr. Alan Lanier, I believe, who did this. So let's listen to the mandatory cowbell, a little güiro, and the other business.
Yeah.
Never knew it was there. Harpsichord.
We can be like they are. Don't fear the reaper.
Oh, by the way, you kids listening at home, don't kill yourselves in a love pact.
No.
Don't do that. Reaper. Stay in school.
Much as you think and you should. Beautiful harmonies. This organ. So there's a lot of business going on there that you don't actually, when you listen to the song in its complete form, I've never heard any of that Hammond business that he was doing there.
Yeah.
And certainly the güiro is a pleasant surprise, but isn't it always?
It really is.
I mean, let's be honest. So there you have, that's basically the meat and potatoes of the song. Buck Dahmer's vocal is...
It's haunting.
It's so beautiful. Like, I don't know how you have this lack of air across your vocal cords, but still create this winsome, it's just beautiful. So, and there's a holy host of him stacked on top of himself. So let's listen to Buck singing this beautiful, beautiful melody.
All our times have come. Here, but now they're gone. Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Come on, baby, baby, take my hand. We'll be able to fly, baby, I'm your man. La, 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 la. La.
All right, so
isn't it hard to sing with that much reverb?
No, because usually what you do is you'll track it without it. Some people like to track with sort of effect in their headphones that isn't being laid to tape. And most of the times you'll actually record it completely dry and then effect it afterwards, so you're not trapped into the effect. But if you're doing something like that, you know, one of the things that will help you to get a performance in, say, a song like that that's dreamy is to have the effect on the vocal so that you, because you use the timing of the delays and the reverb for your presentation.
Right.
So what I want to do, because I've sort of spaced this on purpose, so let's listen to it again. And what you need to listen to now with this song, and this is when you really start to appreciate the mastery of like the artistry of what goes on in these things. The verse and the chorus are basically the same thing. Like there is no separation of verse and chorus. It's just everything is a hook. Because when you hear the verse open line is immediately in your brain, you know it. And then the chorus with the Don't Fear the Reaper thing and the Come On Baby thing is all in, it's like one big block instead of, you know, when you hear a Who song or something, you're like, oh, there's the verse and there's the mm-hmm. chorus. This is so beautifully constructed. So let's listen to Buck again showing us how you don't necessarily have to be showing off all the time. That's the guitars. Let's do the vocal again.
Oh, sorry. Going That's back right. to that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have it. I'm my assistant.
I blame myself.
All our times have come. So
that's your verse.
Yeah.
Now into your pre-chorus.
Come on, baby. Baby, take my hand. We'll be able to fly. Baby, I'm your man. La, la, la.
So is this the chorus? Or is this a post-chorus coda thing? It doesn't really matter because all that's hold, it's being held together entirely by that guitar line.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of this song, is that that riff is so brilliant that it holds the entire, you can do anything you want over the top of that, including one of the worst bridges in the history of music, I'll say again, Buck and the Lads. All right, so then there's an incredible guitar lead that happens after the chorus, which is this thing, which is so cool. The feedback is amazing as he comes off that thing. And so that to me is like the mastery of this song, is you have no idea that there is this, like, that is a brilliant, it's like, it's almost outclasses the rest of the song, right? You listen to it, you're like, it's like Gilmore? Like, who's playing that? It's like, no. That's the same dudes that are bashing through the whole thing. Yeah. So let's listen to, and because we got some time, I wanted to do this on purpose. So we could, I want to, let's really listen to the actual song now and as much as we can and hear those parts, because this is so much less is more, and the genius of this guitar lead and this riff that they made that holds the entire song together. It's so incredible. And you never get tired of hearing it.
You were talking about the bridge in there that's from nowhere. Is that the... It's kind of the backwards of the...
Right, exactly. It's like an inversion of it. And then it goes through that, and then they do the big...
It's like orchestral. Wanky, it's like classical music.
And then they come out of it to... And it's one of the greatest reemergences into a song ever. I think it might be the best ever. So here's the lads. And now listen for the guiro.
Nice.
Reverb to death.
All of time's up.
So the guitar riff keeps going.
Here, but now they're gone. Seasons don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby.
Guitar riff is back. And that lead now is in the background, flipping between the... It's incredible. Like, what? And it's not on top of the mix. It's like everything is in this swampy verb thing. And then, of course... So there it is. That is that to me is a masterclass in just really out of the box, in quotes, songwriting. That's beautiful. Mark Knopfler hinged an entire career on that move. And it's really, it's a complete curse that the Saturday Night Live thing happened, because it is legitimately, it has undermined an incredible, incredible piece of music with the stupid needs more cowbell joke. So if I ever bump into Will Ferrell, he's going to get a kick in the nuts and then a congratulations on some of the movies he's made, which I found funny. But for what you've done to this song, sir, I will never forgive you, Will Ferrell. Never. And yeah, whoever that Canadian dude who's in charge of Saturday Night Live, whatever that guy's name is, that guy too, he goes down as well. He's complicit.
Lauren?
Yeah.
Lauren Michaels?
Yeah, that guy.
He made the list?
Yeah, he made the list as well. He's on my naughty list forever. Here it is.
Here we are.
Good job, Christian. Thank you as always.